Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Chilly Wednesday Val.
It was a little chill in the air this morning.
Feeling good.
Isn't it nice? I like that.
Yeah, I have a hoodie on right now. It feels good.
I just took off my sweatshirt, actually.
Oh, boy. You're on the opposite direction.
Yeah.
I'm putting clothes on. You're taking it off.
You know how it is. This isn't the Quite Frankly podcast. It's the opposite of the Quite Frankly podcast, which has been fantastic lately. You've really been on fire.
Really? What do you think? I mean, I don't get a lot of feedback from an official source, so I'm always very interested to hear what people think. So I'm glad about that. You can tell me off the air. I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, no, it's good. I've been poking my head in, and you know, I'm just waiting for my official music, Frank.
Yes. Well, guess what? I found myself a really good application that I can put on my iPad that's right in front of me on the desk there to start creating my own custom soundboards.
Well, you're going to have to share that with me because I need it too.
Okay. I'll let you know about it. The full version is like $38, but I want to see what I can do with the free version first.
Yes. I want helicopters. I want background noise. I want it all.
Yep.
You know,
dun, 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 dun.
You know what's funny? I got to tell a story. This show is going to be a mix of sadness and laughter, I think. So when I was a kid, I guess I was in my teens, there was this game called Tabloid Teasers. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. So my sister and I used to take the cards from Tabloid Teasers and we'd set up a fake news desk and we would set up a camera and we would be newscasters with the headlines from the Tabloid Teasers game, which were ridiculous headlines like hamster found in dry, like crazy.
So it probably happened in Florida then.
Exactly.
And Florida news, hamsters found someplace vomiting vultures. It's all Florida news.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. So yeah, so we used to record it, but the song that we used to hum as like the, we would smile and through our teeth, we'd be humming, dun, 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 dun.
That's my go-to as well.
Yeah, that's what made me remember it. Okay, now.
Well, I'm glad to be back because I know a lot of people were upset that Monday we had some tech difficulties and it wasn't able to flesh out the way we wanted. So,
it was hairy, and we just made the game time decision without enough time to do something else that it just wasn't worthy of the folks out there to hear. Yeah. Because it was bad. The audio was bad. It was just not good. So that's okay. We're here Wednesday today. We're raring to go and we're going to get started. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to talk about. There is Corey Lewandowski yesterday, and I think that we would be doing everybody out there a disservice if we didn't go through some of these clips of Corey Lewis. This is what every witness should be doing. Every one of them.
You know, it's great because when I'm in the shower and I listen to a lot of this stuff and a lot of the news, a lot of my favorite podcasts and radio shows when I'm in the shower. And I will sometimes sit there and whenever there's the subject of conversation are these hearings, I will stand there and I will just fantasize about how disruptive I would be if I was in one of these hearing settings. And I got to spar with somebody like that corpse with the belt up to his neck. Nadler. He's a classic New York City ticket fixer. He's a night school lawyer hack. Ooh. And then you have people like Sheila Jackson Lee and those the other women that should be working at local YMCAs at the front counter.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about it is, if you really listen, first of all, we're getting some breaking news. I'll tell you in a second, but if you really listen to these folks, like you're saying, that should be at the YMCA, they're talking, they're reading. They don't even know what they're saying. So they can't even make alterations or answer questions or go back and re-ask things because they're reading from prepared statements their staffers wrote. So it's really, they're really not running the thing. They're really not saying what they want. Their staffers are running them like little puppets. Their staffers have their hands up the backs and they're running their mouths like puppets.
I also hated how people like that, that bald killer clown from Outer Space, Steve Cohen, the fried chicken eater. When Steve Cohen was he tried to supplement any kind of substance in his questioning with volume, like how some of them actually tried to get indignant and mad, like, oh, we are, how dare you, this is serious. This is the opposite of serious. Opposite. I'm so happy that he treated this like the clown show it was, Lewandowski.
Well, not for nothing, but I mean, the man has testified to this stuff already hundreds of times. Like, he's answered questions for dozens and dozens of hours on this very stuff. Over and over again.
But the basis of all of this is on a subject that has been completely
debunked,
pined through for two years.
And the James Comey, the James Comey releases proved that this is a non-story. And speaking of the James Comey releases, we've got a, just real quick, we have this breaking ish sort of news we're going to listen to right now.
We should get an update on that. In what form?
Yeah, I'll be in that hearing today. It's an important tool because it comes up for reauthorization, and it's in danger of not being reauthorized because, again, as I've contended, the Obama administration has misused that authority for political reasons instead of its intended purpose for fighting terrorism. So there'll be questions about that in today's hearing, and I'm sure that Inspector General Horowitz will get questions about his report today. I don't think he's going to answer anything with regard to content because it's not out there. He may give us some clarification, Bill, in terms of timing. It's written. It's going through the classification review. I think we'll get it in the next few weeks, but I'm less concerned about when we get it. I'm more concerned about what he says in that report. Folks like Jim Comey and House Democrats have said that this idea of FISA abuse is nonsense. Trey Gowdy, myself, Lindsey Graham, and others have said, we don't think so. Let's hide and watch. We'll see what the Inspector General says. He'll say who was right about.
Horowitz is going to be in a hearing today.
And he's going, but based on that, he's not going to be very forthright just yet about what's going on then.
Well, this is, I believe, the hearing to reauthorize the federal, the surveillance court.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see what
happens.
You know,
Tracy, going, I know that was breaking. Going back to Lewandowski.
Yeah, we got to get back to that. Sorry.
I watched a 15-minute clip yesterday. I forgot from where it was. California Press. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it was called. Golden State Press. Either way, it was 15 minutes of the most asinine exchange I've ever seen in my life on everything, on anything. And what I was looking at was, let me see where the hell this is at.
It might have been, do you think it was the Daily Caller snippet that they put together that maybe, because Daily Caller came out with a brief.
It's Golden State Times. The headline is called "Democrats Are Finished. All Hell Breaks Loose at House Judiciary Committee." And they are, it is a big match between Nadler and Doug Collins. And then Jordan gets in and they're talking about rule changes and they're talking about and staffers, the ability of staffers to go and question Lewandowski for 30 minutes at a time and who's authorized to do this and what kind of a charade this all is. And it is 20 minutes of baby games.
Yeah.
Yep. 20 minutes of baby games and taking votes about tabling motions and points of order. And it looks like children inside of a play schoolhouse pretending to be adults.
The first 20, 30 minutes of this thing was parliamentary procedure that Nadler has no idea how to follow.
Because he's an old malfunctioning creep. They're all, and then the other ones who are younger and a little bit more vital, they're just so low IQ. The fact that somebody like Hank Johnson has a vote on that committee.
Oh, gosh.
Unbelievable.
I wish I could find, I should find it. I don't know if everybody's heard it, but didn't Hank Johnson think that Guam would tip over the more people that we put on it?
Yes, he did. He wanted to make sure.
Here we go. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Place
I know.
On the
painful.
Island, and about 20, about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The the Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
We don't anticipate that. And this guy was a decorated military guy that he's talking to.
Yeah.
He must have been like, I don't know. You know, Tracy, the average person types about 40 words per minute. This man speaks. He speaks about 20 words per minute. A hard time putting things together for this man.
The island of Guam will tip over and capsize if we put more people on it. And he was serious.
Yes, let's put him on the Judiciary Committee.
I'm sorry. How does this happen?
I don't know. They should put a helmet on his head. He should be wearing a helmet through these hearings. He might hurt himself thinking.
So anyway, all that being said, this is what we're dealing with. I have a bunch of clips. Oops, if this would stop auto-playing, for goodness sakes. That we can go through as a team here, Frank. And we can start the day off just at least understanding that at least one person, Corey Lewandowski, say what you want about him, understands how to handle these toolboxes. He must have been a good builder. Want to hear some? Wanna?
Let's do it.
This is one of the only ones that I didn't listen to live because I was editing a piece all day yesterday. Here. This is...
The president. I said,
is there a book and page number you can reference me to, please? I don't have a copy of the report in front of me.
Volume 2, page 90. But I simply ask you, is it correct that as reported in the Mueller report on June 19th, 2017, you met alone in the Oval Office with the president?
Could you read the exact language of the report, sir? I don't have it available to me.
I don't think I need to do that, and I have limited time. Did you meet alone with the president on that date?
Congressman, I'd like you to refresh my memory by providing a copy of the report so I can follow along.
Hey, you don't have a copy with you?
I don't have a copy of the report, Congressman.
Clock will
Mr.
stop.
Chairman, I request that the clock be stopped while this charade is sorted out.
Well, this charade.
It's all a charade.
It's all a charade. This is just a big charade. Let's keep going.
I'm sorry, Congressman, what page was it?
The clock should have been stopped and should remain stopped. Page 90, volume 2.
Okay, and which paragraph, sir?
I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, wait, what? You don't even know? You don't even know.
Because it's all in a script.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's even asking. He doesn't even know what he's asking.
Awesome. But you know what? It keeps coming back around to, you know, when we were talking about this, who was it that was out there? Oh, with Mueller. And they kept talking over and over, coming back around to Cohen. No, Cohn. Who was it? When they were talking about what's his name? Darn it. The firing of Mueller. Who was the lawyer? What?
Don McGahn.
Same thing when they were obsessing with Don McGahn. They were obsessing with Corey Lewandowski and this letter. Did he not? Was he being asked to go out there and talk to Jeff Sessions or whatever? And then Steve Cohen, the fried chicken eater, killer clown from outer space, he actually went as far as completely perverting the entire thing and saying, you don't think, or something along the lines of, you don't think it's serious that the president asked you to ask Jeff Sessions to drop the investigation, which is the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, the president made did not make it a secret at all that he thought that it was obscene that Jeff Sessions recused himself. He may not have wanted Jeff Sessions to be recused, which is not a crime. And it's also not a crime to fire Mueller if he thought that the investigation was stacked and slanted in a political way, which it was. None of this is a crime. So now they're just trying to make something up because the whole Don McGahn thing fell apart. Now they're trying to move in on Lewandowski and Sessions to once again eat up time on the clock.
Yeah, there's more to this one. You want to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'd like a reference, sir, so I can follow along on what you're asking.
Do you not have an independent recollection?
To be honest, what just happened that you didn't hear is his staff member said to him, Nadler, behind him, off mic, do you not have a recollection of what? And then Nadler repeats it like the puppet man that he is. Here we go.
Of whether you met with the president on that date?
Congressman, I'm just trying to find in the Mueller report where it states that.
Well, you have it in front of you. I gave you the page number.
Okay, where on page 90 is it, sir?
Mr. Chairman, you got to start the clock.
No, I don't have to start the clock, but he's filibustering. Bottom of page 90. Well,
filibustering is a different issue. That's across the hall in the Senate. This is actual questions being done now.
Mr. Chairman, I point of...
And then it went to a roll call vote and all kinds of other stuff because Nadler wouldn't start the time on himself again. And he's like a little baby. Do you hear how he responds? No, I don't. I don't have to do that. Like, it's like he's like having a tantrum.
He's a New York City ticket fixer, my friend. That's exactly what this is. And all of his friends up there, you can tell that they're like, especially like that the Goomba faces up there, like Jayapal and stuff like that. They are so out of their league, especially in comparison with the men and women who helped found the country and could articulate why we're here and all that. But they're these clowns, these really low intelligence clowns that sit there in their very expensive suits and skirts, and they think that they're really, really just they're full of greatness because they can say things like I and no and point of order, point of personal privilege, like they actually know what they're like they're
yeah, they
surgeons.
Know what the parliamentary Robert's Rules of Order, they have no idea. You know, we had to learn Robert's Rules of Order to take over all of the delegate caucuses and or the delegate proceedings and stuff when we were trying to get delegates for Ron Paul. We knew them better than they did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they feel so good about themselves when they say things that sound really exotic, like point of personal privilege. Oh, okay. Make way. Here they come.
Speaking of clown shows, Frank, ready? This is Doug Collins and Corey Lewandowski.
Were you given any guidelines by the Democrats on the topics or subjects of your questions today?
Not to the best of my recollection.
Yeah, because that is a problem we seem to have here is basically what we'll say is overbroad subpoenas around here. We could have talked today about your favorite football team. I'm not sure.
Patriots.
So you're pretty happy right now, right?
Tom's a winner.
Tom's a winner. He's on a first name basis.
Oh, that was great. That is great. Here's another one.
This has been about as clear as Joe Biden's last answer to race relations that involved turning on the record player. We don't know where we are or what we're doing. Now, Mr. Lewandowski, I am not allowed by House rules to impugn the motives of my colleagues or to speculate as to what might be animating this bizarre circumstance. But those rules don't apply to you. So, Mr. Lewandowski, do you have a thought as to why we continue to engage in a charade that is overwhelmingly opposed by the American people and fundamentally misunderstood by my Democrat colleagues?
You know, Congressman, I think they hate this president more than they love their country.
Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And the whole fact about this, and that's why I was saying the that 20 minutes, I actually might go live. I don't have a show tonight because I'm going to Yankee Stadium with some family. And I think I might do in the middle of the day today a little broadcast from home where I just watch the 20 minutes of this back and forth and this nonsense with the rule changes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the basis of all this, it really is that Nadler thinks that this is an impeachment hearing, or and they're probing for impeachment, which on the face of it, it is not, because Nancy Pelosi knows, they all know, there are no votes for impeachment. If she brought it to a House vote, she's endangering probably 30 to 50 members of her party with upcoming elections, and how, if they would really put their time to something like this, there is no national support for this. But Tracy, it always comes back around to one thing. I hate to be a broken record. They're eating up the clock. If Jerry Nadler did not have this to do with his time to create some kind of really weak series of headlines, what would they be doing aside from being completely exposed and on the defensive? They would be completely on defense. This is the only way to keep them on offense from now until the time of the next election, next year. It's the only thing that they have left to do, or else they'll be exposed for over a year.
Yeah, and that's dangerous for them. That's for damn sure. Dangerous for them.
Oh, God, they got to lose the House. They have to. Can you imagine what 2021 is going to be like if they are out? Oh, my God, they have to lose the House.
Yeah, we got to take everything back. We got to. It'll be fantastic. They've got a little taste of power here for 2 years. And look what they're doing. Let's take it back from them so that this is gone, and watch what happens. Just. Ooh, you want to listen to more, or do you want to move on to something else?
Whatever you want to do. It was that biggest news yesterday, I think it was, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We can listen to Lewandowski go back and forth with Swalwell.
Is this when he calls him the president?
Yes.
This is great. I wish he did that more. I wish he only would call him President Swalwell.
It's so great to watch. Hold on.
Are you ashamed to read it out?
I'm happy to have you read it, Congressman.
Well, why don't you want to read it, Mr. Lewandowski?
I think you should afford me the same privilege you afforded Director Mueller.
Would you like to read it?
No, you're welcome to read it.
Are you ashamed of the words that you wrote down?
President Swalwell, I'm very happy of what I've written, but you're welcome to read it if you'd like.
Are you ashamed to read it out loud?
I'm not ashamed of anything in my life, Congressman, are you?
Then why don't you read the words?
Congressman, I've asked and answered your question.
Mr. Lewandowski, why won't you read the words aloud?
I've asked and answered your question, Congressman. If you'd like to read the words, you're welcome to.
Well, you were ashamed to read them out loud, and you didn't deliver those words to the person the president asked you to. Did you have a consciousness of guilt?
Not for nothing, before we go on, they basically just said that he did nothing wrong. Anyway, like, you didn't do what we're saying that you did. You didn't deliver them as you were asked to. Then what is the point? Why do you have this man up there? Why are you attacking him? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Read the words. Are you ashamed? I don't know. I'm no more ashamed than I would be if I were you. You constipated little twerp. I would have called him a constipated little twerp. And not only that, you want to talk about real shame. There's no shame here. Nothing happened. If there was a crime committed, then there would have been charges filed.
Against Corey Lewandowski specifically? I mean, of course.
Exactly. There was a 2-year, $40 million investigation that went on that so badly wanted to find something, and they couldn't. So now they have to resort to this, you know, this grammar school Christmas play that we're watching right now for as long as they can hold it out. And in the meantime, you want to ask Democrats about specific policies that they've been pushing out. What about all of the unwillingness to actually admit to what are in all of these statewide abortion bills? You remember the unwillingness to even answer questions about bills they sponsor because they know how brutal and gruesome it is.
Yeah.
You think that Lewandowski actually has something to be ashamed of from this completely legal exchange? Legal exchange? Because if it was illegal, he would be in jail.
I almost wish you would have waited just another minute to say that, because we could segue into the piece that just went up on Uncover DC about Planned Parenthood and Center for Medical Progress.
Well, we can do that, and then we can go to Ed Buck, because he was aborting. Ed Buck is aborting
people,
actual adults.
Yeah, let's listen to the rest of this clip where Lewandowski goes spars with whatever his name is here. And then we'll move into that stuff.
I have nothing to be guilty of, Congressman. Thank you.
You still feel guilty today, and that's why you can't read it out loud?
Congressman, you're welcome to read the words if you'd like.
Well, I just wonder why you can't.
I have the capacity to, Congressman. I'll give you the privilege.
You said the president did nothing wrong. Why can't you read those words right now? Why can't you read them aloud?
Congressman, tell me why you hold me to a different standard than the previous witnesses who sat here.
I want to give you one more opportunity to clear up something you said earlier. You've said a number of times it was in the Mueller report, it was accurate, except as it relates to you stating that this was the only time the president ever asked you to write something down. Are you saying that part's not accurate? I'm asked to stop the clock while he confers with his lawyer.
Stop the clock.
Clock will be stopped for 5 seconds.
Could I see the page and reference number on that, Congressman?
Sure. It's page 91, lines 7 and 8. I will read it to you. This was the first time the president had asked Lewandowski to take dictation. Are you saying that is not accurate?
I'm saying those aren't my words, Congressman.
I'm asking you, was that the first time the president asked you to take dictation?
And I've testified it's not the first time.
So this part would be inaccurate.
I'm saying I've taken dictation by the candidate and the president in the past.
Have you ever put any words that the president asked you to write down before in a safe? Or was this the first time you'd done that?
I believe it's my standard operating procedure when taking notes, Congressman.
So every note that you take of the president, you put in a safe? How big is that safe?
It's a big safe, Congressman. There's a lot of guns in there.
Uh-oh, Swalwell wants us to... Hey, what are we going to do now? You're going to nuke me, Swalwell? You're going to nuke me right here?
Oh, so great. So great. So great. All right, let's move into somber topic. You know what? Before we do that, before we move into a somber topic, I just wanted to play something else that came up this morning. You know, we had this whole Kavanaugh thing, and it ties into the Supreme Court, which also ties into the story that we put out this morning on Uncover DC, and that also ties into what you were saying. It's all connected. But this morning there was a clip put out. The authors of this article against Brett Kavanaugh were on The View yesterday, I believe. This is what they said.
Corroborate these stories of Dover Ramirez and Christine Blasey Ford, but in the 36 years since, Brett Kavanaugh has been a better man. You know, whether he realized the error of his ways, he consciously reformed himself, or he grew up and simply matured, he has been an exemplary judge. Everyone we talked to except couldn't speak more highly of him on both sides of the aisle. And he actually has a much more nuanced view, kind of position on the court. He's not a right-wing ideologue either. He's actually an establishment conservative who has promoted women on the court. So that's something else we wanted to get across here, which is, you know, everybody can kind of demonize him, and everyone can kind of demonize these victims. And the reality is somewhere in between, considerably more complicated, considerably more nuanced, and that's what we're trying to portray.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do. Sure, absolutely. You're trying to show what a stellar human being Brett Kavanaugh is by that article. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, what an amazing group of assholes. Just a stunning, stunning group of assholes.
It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable that this is actually what's going on right now. Like,
they're not people. They're not even people. They're just programs that are running. Yep. They're just running programs.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point, Frank, if we all of a sudden were alerted to the fact that all of these people were bots running on some sort of sick experiment, and we're all in a television show, and we're going to all of a sudden be shown that they've been experimenting with us this entire time just to see how stupid we really are. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised. It would be actually welcomed if that were the case, because at least then we'd have some explanation for what's going on here.
I hear it. I hear it too. Because I can actually feel the rush, the exhilaration in a person like that that went on The View, in people like this. I can actually feel that rush when they realize that they may have found a really, really good alibi. That they found a really good way to explain this. That no, well, listen, this is not about attack, because of course it's failing and failing and failing, and they look worse and worse and worse. What we were really only trying to do is, hey, you know, maybe he did have some. We don't know. Nothing has really formulated or materialized in the way that we thought it would in the past. But perhaps the bigger story here is, look at a man who has turned his life around.
Yeah.
Who has grown up. Oh, you sick people, man. I'll tell you. And that's the other thing here, too. You start talking about all the frustration that people have for justice not being served here and there. What happened with the A1s? What happened with this one? Well, you want to know something? Another thing? Dianne Feinstein perjured herself. That whole entire thing with Christine Blasey Ford has gone away. She made over $1 million on that. And there was we were consumed by this. And it was completely fabricated, promoted for political purposes, and it was unfounded. What, is there ever going to be any justice there? I don't want any of this to be forgiven.
None of it should be.
When are we going to get around to it?
I know. And you know what? There's got to be something we can do. There has to be something we can do. Finch did this great thread in the library about what this is all really about. Went absolutely viral. Was read on the radio. Was picked up by several different news outlets and broadcast in articles. There's an article going up about it today for Uncover DC. Where he explained what four decisions are coming up in the Supreme Court this session and how the left has lost their strong arm around the Supreme Court and the judiciary as a whole. And because of that, they are trying to delegitimize the Supreme Court in order to either stack the court, change the rules of the court, just ignore the court's decisions. And this is one of the ways that they're trying to go about doing it. And it was genius. It really was. I'm sure you guys, most of you have read it. But one of the bigger issues, one of the issues on their docket or on the next phase of things is going to be abortion, because of what you mentioned about these bills that are just absolutely disgusting. And what life is coming back into focus. And this morning, we posted an article by Celia Farber, who is a brilliant reporter for Uncover DC, where she goes over, it's called Grizzly Facts Unmask and Weaken Big Abortion. And this is the only article that I have, and it's not just because it's on Uncover DC, but it's really the only article I've ever seen that goes through the entire story of Center for Medical Progress, the undercover videos that they recorded of the brokering of the body parts of aborted babies and some born alive, and what's going on in court right now. Are you up on the story? I could do a quick summary.
Go ahead.
So years ago, Center for Medical Progress, who is Deladian, and I think that's how you say his name, Deladian, and this woman.
Deladian.
Deladian, okay.
Oh, wait, no, Delanian. Delanian.
It's D-A-L-E-I-D-E-N.
Oh, second D, okay.
Yeah. So Deladian. He and this woman, Sandra Merritt, went undercover after they watched this documentary on 2020 where they saw, this is horrible, they saw a story from a whistleblower that there were twin babies born alive and that the doctor who performed that abortion drowned the babies and harvested their organs for sale. And this convinced them that there needed to be something done about this and that it couldn't go on this way. So they went undercover. They recorded the conversations about the sale of these parts from the STEM Express and Planned Parenthood. And they released them on their website. And that started a crazy, crazy flurry where Planned Parenthood was accusing them of committing a crime. And the attorney general in California, who at that time was Kamala Harris, went after Daladian, took his illegally searched his apartment, stole all of his stuff trying to get the footage. The footage went out anyway. They were accused by none other than Fusion GPS of editing and what they do to James O'Keefe all the time. You edited this. This isn't real. Well, that went in front of a judge, and the judge and they ruled that that is completely untrue. There was a forensic expert brought in who did a work on the footage. It was not edited at all. The only thing that was taken out were bathroom breaks and little pauses. The footage and the words were not edited at all. And so now these folks are up on 15 felony counts for recording these interactions between Planned Parenthood and the stem cell company, Stem Express. And what's coming out in this trial should shock every single person on this planet to the core, where they're literally using a tactic called the Langendorf method, which is used on animals. It's a perfusion technique which is used to extract living hearts from animals, but they're applying it to these babies because you can't use the heart unless it's beating and alive.
Wow. Well,
and
I don't condone violence, but I definitely understand why abortion clinics have been bombed in the past.
So there's more than that. There are testimonies of women who worked for the companies who were on the stand testifying in this case. This is a pretrial hearing to see if it's going to even move forward at all. And they have got these people from Stem Express on the stand as Jane Doe's and you know, Doe test. They're doing testimony anonymously. And the current AG of California tried to keep this all under seal so no one would be able to hear it, but the judge ruled against it. He failed. So all this is open. You hear this being reported anywhere, Frank?
No.
So the people from Stem Express are talking about, and Planned Parenthood that are on the stand here, are talking about how they change techniques to harvest the parts of these babies to meet the demand that they're getting from companies to sell the parts. There was a congressional review done where in 4 hours at a couple different Planned Parenthood, Stem Express made $6,700 off of, I think, how many fetuses is it? I don't know how many. I can't find it in there right now. I'm going off memory. But this is how much money is in this business. And there was one woman who was forced to harvest a heart and then a brain from a young, a baby.
I saw that they on top of, I saw the Stem Express article. I covered it because I tied it in with some of the developments around the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, because, you know, this is all connected in one way or another. These people are they're very, very tied in with genetic engineering. They're tied in with elongating lifespans, especially for themselves. They're tied in with AI and it's all the same thing. So they know they need some kind of a source for this. And when I saw that Stem Express was extracting and preserving still beating hearts and fully intact heads, I'm thinking to myself, well, A, this is the most horrific thing you can ever consider. But for a heart to be kept beating would mean you would need a living being to extract it from, and to keep it beating the whole time means it should never stop. Means that it never at one point was dead or not living.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're taking parts, like, it goes to the core of their whole argument on the left. These aren't people, right?
No, they're not people.
But you're taking body parts from them for use where? In animals? Right. What's the deal? This destroyed me yesterday. Celia did an absolutely amazing job on this piece. I hope that every single person reads it as they talk about how they want Lamborghinis, so we should sell this part for more money. It's all in here. All of the dirty, disgusting horribleness of this story is in here, and nobody in the legacy media or even in some of the new media will talk about it. I don't know why. I think it's because it's so painful, but it needs to be out there. Here it is in black and white. Jerry Nadler was one of the people responsible for this investigation into Merritt and Daladian to determine whether or not any laws were broken in this multi-year scheme against Planned Parenthood. Who donates to them with that money? How disgusting. Kamala Harris has gotten donations this cycle from that Planned Parenthood where this all went down. So there's that. Just coming through right now, Frank, a state senator in Pennsylvania was arrested for child pornography.
God, please take the whole thing down. Just take the whole roof down.
Pennsylvania State Senator Michael Fulmer, Republican, was arrested after allegedly uploading child pornography to Tumblr.
Tumblr. I'm on Tumblr.
You're not doing that.
I have never seen child porn on Tumblr ever. There used to be a lot of porn on Tumblr until last December. That's when they had new porn restrictions, like anything with a nipple or a butthole is gone.
Isn't it weird though, Frank, that this man would upload this to Tumblr? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it does make sense because they're stupid. I mean, let's go right to Ed Buck from here.
Yeah.
You want to talk about people who have something that drives them in life that they cannot, that it overrides logic, any kind of personal responsibility, civic responsibility, humanitarian responsibility. It overrides everything. It's almost like it seems to me like it's like heroin, where after that first fix, your reality has shifted. There is nothing but you and the dope from there on in. There's nothing, and you will go to ridiculous levels to acquire it again, and you will take risks that you would otherwise, from a sober perspective, would see to be so stupid and so flawed in its logic and reasoning that you would never go for it. So I do believe it all. And it's really just part of whatever this sick. It's just the hooks are in these people. And they're doing stupid shit.
I don't understand, especially in Ed Buck's case. I don't understand. I do understand in a way, but how many times is this going to happen? How many times is this man going to act with such reckless abandon? How many people is he going to kill? This man, this last one, happens to be alive, thank God, by the grace of God. Prominent Democratic donor and LGBTQ plus political activists.
Oh, plus. He's got the plus down all right.
Friends with lots of lots of Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris and Barack Obama's and Hillary Clinton's comrades over there.
Ted Lieu.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Schiff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He was charged Tuesday with running a drug den out of his West Hollywood apartment and providing methamphetamine to a 37-year-old man who suffered an overdose last week. He was charged with one felony count each of battery causing serious injury, administering methamphetamine, and maintaining a drug house. According to the DA's office, Buck was accused with injecting the victim with methamphetamine at the defendant's apartment in the 1200 block of Laurel Avenue in West Hollywood. The man survived. The charges come after two other men died of drug overdoses at Buck's dating back to 2017, prompting community outrage and calling for his arrest. Prosecutors recommend bail be set at $4 million in a motion that called Buck a violent, dangerous sexual predator. Finally, who mainly preys on men vulnerable by addiction and homelessness.
Usually black men, and he shoots them up with meth. And he puts cowboy boots on him, and he has entire treasure chest full of sex toys and dildos. We remember that? That was in the second one. That was from the one from last year.
Yep.
When somebody died, or at least somebody died. This guy, I mean, listen, it's like that movie Copycat. Seriously, I don't understand. And also, there's more of that crazy stuff going on. These are big time donors and intellectuals and school teachers. That professor out there that killed a boyfriend because they were doing mummification bondage in his basement. You remember that?
No, that's a new one for me.
Yeah, it was. It's a. I think a UCLA professor or something accidentally killed a boyfriend in their little sex dungeon basement because they were using Saran wrap as part of a mummification bondage kink or whatever the hell it was. And I guess it created too much internal pressure. He just started, you know, bursting like a grape something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, everybody. Yeah. It's like that. It's the song Stink Fist by Tool. The norm does not stimulate people anymore. They have to dig deeper and deeper. It's knuckle deep. It's wrist deep. It's elbow deep. It's shoulder deep until you feel something new. That's what happens when you're dead inside.
It's insanity to me because the headline here, Frank, on the video report of this was Ed Buck arrested on drug charges.
Oh, we got him.
I mean, these poor families, like, you know who's done, there's been some people that have done a lot of work, you know, for all the talk of how the left cares so much about gay people and minorities, this is how they treat them. They'll take this man's money, that's for damn sure. They have no problem taking his money. They have no problem fraternizing with him. They have no problem taking photos with him. But God forbid, President Trump is in a photo with a Chinese woman who has nothing to do with, you remember that day?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me correct what I just said. It was a UCLA professor who died during a mummification bondage at his boyfriend's, who is a Hollywood executive's house. So Hollywood and academia mummifying each other until they croak.
I don't even know what to say. There's a lot of, we're going to stop. I'm going to stop because yesterday I spent most of the afternoon trying not to cry, and that's straight up the truth. And then I did cry for a little while. And I'm usually not like that, Frank. I usually can really very, very comfortably insulate my spiritual self from this stuff. But I couldn't do it yesterday for some reason. There's a lot of hearings today, Frank, in the Senate. Right now, there's one going on between Twitter and Google about hate speech in front of the Senate Commerce Committee. There is also the oversight of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act hearing, which I think starts at 11. It's ongoing right now. Damn it.
Hate speech.
Hate speech in front of... And, you know, let's quickly talk about this, too, before we close it out today, because there's 10 minutes left. Do you see what happened to there were about 70 or so accounts yesterday that were banned from Twitter?
I didn't know this.
There's this.
Like prominent accounts?
There were a lot of pretty prominent accounts on there. There's this account called Conservator Zero, who does all of these reviews of bots and, you know, who on the right is a bot and being, who's being amplified by bots and all that nonsense. And he has all these tools that he uses to do it and figured out that he was looking for bot activity surrounding the Democrat debates and said, well, we didn't really find very much of that. It was all organic. But we did find this. There is a software called Power of 10, which was being used by about 70 or so MAGA accounts, if you want to call them that, to amplify and automatically retweet certain users they placed on their list. So let's say you're an account and you want to make sure that you retweet every one of Donald Trump's tweets. You put him on the list. This software takes control of your account. It automatically retweets Donald Trump. Or me, or you, or whoever. So this guy somehow was able to figure out which accounts had it, which accounts were using it, what they were retweeting, who was the most retweeted by the software, and all these metrics and data. And Twitter, in turn, suspended all of the accounts using it. Personally, I think it's stupid to use software like that. Stupid.
Yeah. First, it takes away the whole point of using Twitter.
Right. Right. Now, of course, yet again, my name is listed up there in the first column of people that are retweeted with the software. There is a graph, a bubble chart with my name on it, and I'm in green because I don't use the software. My tweets have been deemed organic by this group. because they are. There is not one thing on my Twitter that's automated and I don't physically tweet myself. And anybody that's not doing that, I strongly consider you talk, think about what Frank said and use Twitter for its intended purpose and grow organically, for God's sakes.
Or don't grow. It doesn't even matter. If I wasn't doing what I was doing for a living, I would probably still have a Twitter account just to be able to observe and consume information. And I would actually revel being in the shadows at this point. So I don't know. I mean, this,
you know,
use it as a tool. It's like a tool.
Well, it's not, I mean, it shouldn't even, Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I've had a lot of this lately, and I just want to say this very kindly to everyone out there. I hope that nobody's upset at me for not following them back. I know that there are a lot of people that get upset that people don't follow them back, especially when you get a larger bunch of followers. It's in some sectors of Twitter looked at as you being a snob. And it's sad because that's not what the purpose of it is. The only reason why I care if anybody follows me on Twitter is because I have information that I want people to see. And the more people follow me, the more people will see it because I'm shadow banned and people can't see my stuff even when they do follow me. So whatever. The point is, I just want to reach a wider audience. That is my goal, is to reach a wider audience. I don't share personal stuff about me on Twitter. I share information. You too, Frank.
Yeah, I sprinkle in a lot of other stuff in there too.
Which is funny as hell.
My thing is with the following. Every once in a while, I'll follow somebody back if we've been, you know, communicating for a long time or something. But I, like I said before, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I think I follow like a little bit over 500 people. My account right now would probably look like 500 something people followed and probably about 100 people following me, because I really just want to make sure that my timeline is filled completely with information.
Yes.
Information that I need to produce the show, that I wanted to do, maybe just string things together. The way that I want to consume and organize information is very important to me. So that's the way that I follow accounts on Twitter. So if everybody starts, you know, bludgeoning each other over the head with this follow for follow nonsense, all of a sudden your timeline becomes filled with at replies and people just having side conversations it's not conducive to work. The work that I do. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the other thing. That's exactly what I said too. There's several different reasons why my follow count is low comparatively to my follower count. And one of them is a very big one, is what you just mentioned, that I use Twitter for work. It is my job. A lot of people out there don't. It's a personal thing that they use in their personal lives, and they go to an office and they work all day, or they have their own company and they work, and they use Twitter as a side piece to consume information or to talk with their friends or whatever. It is my job. It is literally my job, and I use it for that purpose. Now, I had my Twitter account way back when, before I, when I was an activist, but before I started, I was on Facebook a lot more, but I had a Twitter account because I was using it to promote an event and I just started it. And when I started doing news, all of a sudden, my tweets would fly because it was information that people were looking for, and I grew very, very quickly. There's you can see it if you go look at Social Blade or something, how it happened. I'm not lying about it. And so in order for me to keep the ratio correct, I would have had to have followed back thousands and thousands of people every day. And this is the problem I ran into. That was physically impossible. And I've had this happen to me before. They farm your followers and your following. They will farm who I follow to try and use things to use against both you and me. And they've done it before and they'll do it again. And so for that reason, people don't believe me for some reason when I say that. It is the God's honest truth. For that reason, I am so careful about who I follow and who I'm putting into a spotlight, basically. If somebody gets mad at me and wants to come after me, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go through my follower list. So I've culled it down to work and some friends and stuff, but whatever.
I also, every couple of months, maybe every 3 or 4 months, I go and I scan my following list to see how many inactive accounts there are. If there's anybody, no matter how big they are, if they tweet in, you know, not frequently or whatever the hell it is, or whatever, I shave things down there. I actually have 4 privatized lists. I know people build public lists, but I have 4 private lists that I've been building that, let me see, what are my lists? They are, let me see, lists that I own. I have a history and culture list, a news research and analysis list. There's 47 people in that, climate, science, and space. And then, of course, paranormal, occult, UFO, and ET. I've got 4. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have touched on that today, too.
I know. So really, this is just about sifting through information. But, you know, you just mentioned Social Blade, and I went on there while you were talking, and I threw my name in there. I got a C-minus account. What the hell is that about?
I have a C-plus account.
What the hell with them?
Well, that doesn't matter. That's nonsense. That doesn't matter. What I use it for, I'm working on something in the background, guys, that's going to absolutely blow your minds. And I can't talk about it anymore than to say that. But thank you, Social Blade. That's all I'll say.
Well,
very useful tool. Very useful.
Also, another useful tool for everybody out there is tweetdeleter.com. I know we just gave them a plug.
Yeah, we did.
I have a very old account, and like you, Tracy, it went through a metamorphosis of what my presence on the internet became about once I was moving away from one thing into another and started concentrating more on what I'm doing now.
Well, you know, cancel culture and everything.
Oh, with that and just me. I mean, listen, if you're on the internet, if you're public, even in a very small local or collegiate sense or whatever, if you're not embarrassed by some of the things you said even 3 years ago, I don't think you're growing. All right.
No, it's true.
And I'll tell you, there might have been a version of our society where you can get away with being in one mindset and then being able to see, oh, wow, well, this is how far I've come. And that's great. It's not like that anymore. The past has been weaponized. And I think everything over 100 days old, I said, you know what? I wanted to just have a clean start. And I got rid of a lot of tweets.
Well, that's awesome, you know, for you and your purposes. I can't do that, but.
Yeah, well, you write threads and shit. I don't do anything like that. Okay. And it's not like my opinions have changed. It's just that keeping in mind where we're going, I challenged myself to make a better effort at how to articulate them. So they're still as cutting, but not as easily attackable.
I don't blame you. I am looking through right now on Twitter real quick.
And not only that, Tracy, but when we get on the air, there are so many times I have my phone in my hand and I'm ready to say something on Twitter and I say no, and I copy and paste it, or sometimes I'll tweet it and I'll immediately delete it and I'll send it to myself to do it on the show, because I know if I can put my voice to it and if I can talk this one out, it is so much harder for people to twist it and turn it into something else.
It's not
I mean, listen, half of the problems that we have on the internet is the fact that everything is in text and you have to read it in your own head and you apply your own motives, you apply your own tone of voice to it, and you apply all of your own biases and prejudices. So if my main thing is vocalizing this stuff, man, I think I've saved myself a lot of problems by not tweeting the stuff that I usually say on the show.
I'm looking through my lists that I'm on, apparently. I never realized I was able to do this. And some of them are frightening.
No, some of them are real bad. You want to see some of mine? What are yours?
Oh, gosh. I have leftists putting me on all kinds of lists here.
I'm on a nuts list. This is nuts. Nuts, too. Where else?
I'm on some lists I really don't belong on.
Oh, a lot.
Oh, here's one. Insufferable idiots. I'm on that list.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm on a list called My List.
Health news for following. Where the hell is it? Give me some bad ones. Crypto fascists?
Oh.
I'm a crypto fascist? What the hell does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
I'm in, come on, give me some more. Pod people. Actually, it's not that bad. I've been put on some ridiculous ones, and I'll just block the person off the bat. Because you get notifications when you're added to lists.
I don't, or I miss them if I do.
They are there. You do get them.
Well, we'll end this now. We could have talked for like another hour today. I have so much stuff. We'll come back on Friday and finish up. But hey, guys, thank you for listening today. I know it was a little bit tough somewhere through there. I'm going to probably label this one not safe for work. Just in case people are listening during the day or with their kids in the car. We don't want them hearing all about the Ed Buck nonsense. You guys have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Chilly Wednesday Val.
And me, Beans. You can find us on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and excuse me, and radioinfluence.com. We will see you on Friday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and radioinfluence.com.